Saturday afternoon and time for the favorite sports stories of Grantland Rice. Yes, it's yarn spinning time down at the Sportsman's Club, where the sport fans gather every Saturday at this time as guests of the Dean of American Sports Writers, Grantland Rice. Granny Rice, who has covered all the big sporting events of the past 30 years and has made a hobby, too, of collecting good sports stories, which he shares with his friends at these sessions of the Hot Stove League. So join us now at the Sportsman's Club. The fans are just about to get a little inside information from Granny himself.
Granny, all the clubs are in spring training now. How does the 1944 race look to you?
Now, how about it, Granny?
Right now, fellas, I'm picking a team with the name of Old Man Draft to win or lose both pennants. It'll be a wild scramble this year. A ball player is in a Giant, Dodger, Yankee, or Cardinal uniform, we'll say, one day, and he's wearing Uncle Sam's uniform a week later. If you fellas want to pin me right down at this spot, my guess would be the St. Louis Cardinals and the Washington Senators. But say, give me about a couple of weeks, you know, to switch my guess. Say about 2 weeks from now, will you?
Yeah, we'll hold you to that.
Speaking of baseball, I promised you a baseball story for today. And it's another one by the master of them all, Ring Lardner. It's called Hurry Kane. This is the story of a pitcher, a fellow named Kane. He wasn't so bright off the field, perhaps, but when he stood out there on the mound and let go with his fastball, there was nothing wrong with Hurry Kane. Just ask his teammates about that.
Well, I guess I know Kane as good as anybody. Ought to. I caught him all season and right down through the World Series. But if you want the real story of Kane, you gotta go back a year and a half when it didn't take no fortune teller to figure out what was gonna happen to our club if we didn't land a pitcher or two. Say, I'll never forget the first night when this Kane comes into the hotel lobby down in Florida. He'd been riding a day coach all the way from Arizona. He stood about 6'3", and he was wearing a suit that must have been made for Singer's youngest midget. Right away, Bull Wade gets on him.
Hey, you, Steve.
You, talking to me?
Yeah. You're Kane, huh? What's your first name, Steve?
It ain't Steve at all.
No?
It's Elmer.
Elmer? Say, that name fits you perfect. Just like that suit you got on.
Oh, I got this suit in Yuma, Arizona. In a store there.
A store?
It was a clothing store.
No.
Yeah, they sell all kind of clothes.
Yeah, I see they do.
Now, if you want a suit like it, all right, and found out they got another one.
Oh, no, no. It couldn't be two like that. And if there was, well, Ed Wynn has probably bought the other one by now. And anyway, I got a suit. Say, Kane, what did they call you where you come from? I mean, what's your nickname?
Hurry. Hurry Kane, they call me. Lefty Condon, he give me the name.
Hurry Kane, huh?
Yeah, you see, a hurricane is a kind of a storm. My last name is Kane, so Lefty called me Hurry Kane. It's a kind of a storm.
A brainstorm.
No, a hurricane is a big windstorm.
Does it blow up all of a sudden?
Yeah, that's it.
Well, and we must have had three or four of them on this ball club last season. All pitchers, too. By the way, what inning is your favorite to blow up in?
I don't blow.
Well, how come they call you Hurricane, then?
Well, like I told you. It was Lefty Conan, give me the name, see? You see, my last name is Kane, and a hurricane is a big wind.
Sure, but don't a wind blow?
Well, this fella Kane looks like he was made up for a vaudeville act in his street clothes, but there ain't nothing funny about him out there on the mound. Dave hears he has a fast ball, but he tells the big sap not to let loose with it right away. And the first thing you know, Kane throws a ball in that almost tears the mitt off my hand. Dave comes running out on the field.
Hey, Kane! Kane! Hold it, fellas, hold it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey, Kane, I thought I'd get through telling you not to cut loose. Now, kid, you got a real fast ball there, but I don't want you cutting loose with it the first day.
Oh, that ain't my real fastball, Mr. Grogan.
That wasn't a fast ball?
No, I can throw twice that fast. Only I'm scared to because I ain't sure of my control yet. You watch me in a couple of days.
Oh, yeah? Well, tell me, if you can throw that good, how come you weren't up here in the big leagues last year?
I never showed my real stuff down in Waco, Mr. Grogan.
Why not?
I was always scared there'd be a big league scout up in the stands, and I didn't want to go up.
You didn't want to go up?
No, sir. You see, I was kind of stuck on a girl there in Waco, and I wanted to be near her.
Oh, I see. But say, look, your hometown is Yuma, Arizona.
That's right.
Well, you could be near the girl in Waco all winter.
Yeah, but you see, I had another girl there in Yuma for winters.
Oh, yeah, sure. Hey, wait a minute. That don't make sense.
Well, sir, with a guy like that, the boys was bound to start on him. They dug up every old gag that's been in baseball since the time you had to have a walrus mustache to get on a team. And Kane fell for them all.
Hey, Kane.
Yeah, yeah?
Dave wants you to run over to the clubhouse and get the key to the batter's box.
Okay, but how come he always picks on me to be the messenger boy?
Oh, Kane, wait a minute. Telegram just came for you, Kane.
Oh, well, thanks. I don't know who would be sending me telegrams.
Hope it ain't bad news, Kane.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what do you know?
What's it say?
It says, congratulations and best wishes for a fine season. Huh? I'll be following every game.
Say, that's real nice. Who sent it?
It's signed Franklin D. Roosevelt.
Roosevelt? Holy smokes.
Yeah, and he ain't never even met me.
Oh, you gotta hand it to that Roosevelt. He doesn't miss anything, Kate.
Oh, hurry, hurry.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, hello there, Johnny.
Hurry, Dave says for me to pass the word on to you. You're due at the ballpark at 6:30 in the morning.
6:30? There ain't nobody out there that time of day.
Oh, there will be tomorrow, Kane.
Why?
Secret pitchers conference.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 6:30, huh? Okay.
Kane!
Yeah?
Letter for you, Kane. Girl's handwriting, too.
Hey, thanks. I don't know no girls in this town.
Kane, did anybody ever tell you you were a ringer for Clark Gable?
Well, no, they ain't.
Well, you are. Boy, I bet you could be making big dough out there in Hollywood.
Oh, I've been told I'm nice looking.
Oh, sure. Let's see a big smile, Kane, you know, like Gable.
Like this, huh? Hey.
I ask you, fellas, is that Gable or not?
I wouldn't have believed it.
Now look tough, Kane.
Tough? Okay, how's this?
Stick 'em up. Reach for the ceiling. Gentlemen, that's what I call talent.
Kane, you've got real ability.
Oh, yeah? Well, fellas, I never done no acting before in my life. Oh,
by the way, Kane, have you wrote to make your room reservations in New York?
Hey, why, here. No, I ain't. Where's a good place to stay?
Well, most of the single fellas stay at the Ritz.
Yeah.
You better write and reserve a suite.
Yeah.
Get a parlor, bedroom, and bed.
Two baths.
Yeah, it's cheaper by the season.
Sure, cheaper.
The Ritz, okay? I'll write to them right away.
That's sure, a good idea, man.
Hey, any of you guys ever hear of a dame named Evelyn Corey by any chance?
Evelyn Corey?
Kane, you mean to say you never heard of Evelyn Corey?
Well, no, I ain't.
I thought everybody heard of her.
Well, who was she anyways?
Well, Kane, she just happens to be about the best singer they got back there in them New York nightclubs.
Yeah?
Some doll.
Oh, boy, what I wouldn't give just to have her say hello to me.
Oh, yeah? Is she pretty?
Is she pretty? She's about the best-looking gal in the world, that's all.
Well, what do you know? Hey, look, she writ me a letter.
How do you like that?
She's staying right here in this hotel. She wants to meet me.
No, Kane.
I don't believe it.
Look, it's all here in the letter.
Where?
She says she's been admiring me in the lobby.
Yeah.
She says she hears I'm the best pitcher since Matty.
Yeah.
And I remind her of Clark Gable.
Huh.
Just like you fellas was telling me.
Say, Kane, you better follow that up.
You looky stiff, you.
How do you do it, Kane?
I don't know, fellas. Honest, I don't.
Yeah?
Miss Corey?
That's the name. Are you the boy from the liquor store?
Oh, no, ma'am. I'm Elmer Kane, you know, Hurricane.
Yeah? Well, that's too bad. Well, what do you expect me to do about it?
Well, I guess you're mixed up, Miss Corey. I'm the Kane you writ the letter to. I'm the pitcher.
Pitcher? Well, pitch yourself out of here before I call a house dick.
But, Miss Corey, in the letter, you
letter?
Said that you...
You must be whacked.
Well, you said I look like Clark Gable.
Hey, Kane, I want to talk to you.
Yes, Mr. Grogan.
Now, listen, kid. I can go along with a gag and all that, but the fellas have been a little rough with you. They've been ribbing you. Now, don't fall for no more of it.
They've been ribbing me?
Yeah.
Well, what do you know? You know what, Mr. Grogan?
What, Kane?
I kind of been suspecting something was fishy here of late.
Well, well, what do you say there, Hurry, old boy?
Hello, Johnny.
You ready to eat, Hurry? Boy, am I hungry. Hey, what's the idea? What's the idea of packing that suitcase?
Well, I'm going home.
You're gone? Say, are you gone nuts?
I'm through, Johnny.
Now, wait a minute. You can't do that.
Well, I'm going to do it. I'm going to see my gal.
The gal in Waco?
No, the one in Yuma.
Oh. Oh, but Hurry, we need you. Why, with you pitching, we got a chance to win the pennant. You could even pitch us right into the World Series. Yeah, and grab yourself a nice chunk of dough, too.
Well, there ain't gonna be no World Series for me. I tell you, I'm through, and that's all there is to it. I'm going home where there ain't no smart Alex kidding me all the time, and nobody bawling me out if I eat an extra steak now and then.
Oh, now, look, Hurry, the boys just kidded you because they like you. Now, don't quit us now, kid. Stick with us. We can win, I tell you. Why, you're the greatest prospect that's come along in years.
There's no use arguing. I'm going home. I'm lonesome for my gal.
Yeah? Well, you weren't so lonesome when you thought this Corey dame was making a play for you.
Well, I'm lonesome now, and I'm going home. Hello? Yeah? Yeah, well, ain't that nice.
Who was that?
The operator. Another one of Bull Wade's gags. He got her to say the hotel's on fire.
Oh. Now, look, Hurry, think this over. Will you think what it means to the... What? The hotel's on fire?
It's just one of them gags, that's all.
You slap! The hotel is on fire! Let's get out of here!
Well, I thought it was another gag.
Come on, you sap!
Help! Help! Somebody help me! Help me carry my bag!
Gangway, madam!
Miss Corey!
Oh, please help me!
Oh, sure, I'll help you, Miss Corey. Oh. Remember me? I'm Elmer Kane. Hurricane, they call me. It's a kind of storm.
How do you do, Mr. Kane?
How do you do?
Come on, give me a hand with these bags. Here's my room.
Oh, sure, Miss Corey.
All right, folks, it's all right. The fire's out. Just a little fire in the basement, that's all. You can go back to your room.
Hey, gee, it's out already.
It's out?
Well, that's what the fella says there.
Oh. Say, pal, would you pour me a drink out of that bottle?
Why, sure, I'd be very happy to, Miss Corey. Soda or water?
Straight.
Oh, what? Oh, yeah, well, here you are.
Thanks. Have one yourself, pal.
Oh, no, ma'am. I'm in training.
Yeah? What for?
For baseball. I guess you don't remember. I'm Kane, the pitcher.
Oh, yeah. You're the dope... I mean, the gentleman who came to the door the other evening.
Oh, that's right. Only I didn't know then it was a gag.
Hmm. Well, I'm sure you want to get back to your pitching now, Mr. Kane. Thank you ever so
much. Oh, no, Miss Corey. We're through for the day.
Oh, really?
Sure, I ain't got a thing to do.
How nice for you. But, I wonder, would you excuse me, Mr. Kane? I have a terrible headache, and I think I'd better lie down.
Oh, yeah, sure. I'll be gone. Only, ain't I going to see you again?
Well, unfortunately, Mr. Kane, I'm leaving for New York tonight.
New York? Hey, I'll be there with the ball club in a couple of weeks. What's your address there in New York?
Why, my address?
Yeah.
You usually stay at the Ritz. Yes, that's it, the Ritz.
The Ritz? Hey, that's where I'll be staying, if they ain't all filled up.
Oh, really? How nice. Just think, we'll be seeing each other all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Good day, Mr. Kane.
Yeah. Good day, Miss Corey.
Well, Hurry gives up his ideas about going home. Then we get to New York, and he naturally don't stay at the Ritz. Neither does Evelyn Corey. I get Kane a room at my boarding house, and for the first few days he spends all his time looking up city directories and telephone books and pestering the life out of information trying to get a lead on the Corey dame.
Say, Joe, could I talk to you a minute?
Sure, Hurry.
I was wondering if you got any idea where I might find Miss Corey. She ain't staying at the Ritz like she planned.
No, probably they didn't have nothing but cheap rooms left.
Yeah. Well, I sure wish I could find her. She's the only reason I come here. If I can't find her, I ain't gonna stay. I'll go home.
Go home? Now, look, Harry. There's a million dames in this town. Don't let this throw you. Of course, it wouldn't have been no trick for me to find the Corey dame. All you had to do was check up on the nightclubs. But I knew that getting hold of her was the worst thing I could do because she would have give Kane the air so strong he'd catch his death of cold. I told him Evelyn had probably went out of town and would call him as soon as she got back. I had to make this pretty strong or else he would have left us flatter than his own feet before he won two games.
Say, Joe.
Huh? Oh, yeah, Harry. How's the boy?
Hey, Joe, when do we get to St. Louis this next trip?
The 15th. Why, you got some friends here?
No, but when we get there, I'm quitting and going on home.
Now, listen, Harry, you can't do that. Don't let that dame get you.
This on the level, Joe?
He says he's quitting when we get to St. Louis.
That's bad. This punk means the pennant to us if we can hold him.
I can't think up no more excuses for the Corey dame, Bo.
Me neither. Hey, wait a minute. Joe, how would it be if Harry got a letter from the dame?
A letter?
Yeah.
That'd be swell, Bull. But she ain't gonna write him no letter.
He'll get a letter. You just leave that to me.
Hey, Joe, look at this.
What is it, Harry?
It's a letter from Miss Corey. Look, writ by her own hand. Boy, does it smell good.
Say, that does. She must be stuck on you after all, kid.
Sure, she as good as says so. Hey, listen to this. Dear Mr. Kane, I am keeping track of your wonderful pitching, and I'm looking forward to seeing you when I return to New York, which will be early in the fall, when you are pitching in the World Series. I hope you haven't forgotten me. Your friend and admirer, Evelyn Corey.
That's pretty nice, if you asked me, Harry.
Sure. And she's got a P.S. here.
Huh?
It says, I'm staying with Mr. Harry Wade and family in Toronto, in case you care to write.
A family named what?
Wade. You know, the same as Bull Wade.
Oh, yeah. Wade. This Harry Wade was Bull Wade's brother there in Toronto. He'd get Harry's letters and forward them back to Bull so Bull could write answers. Well, you should have seen Kane. He pitched his head off as long as the letters kept coming regular. Then he showed signs of getting fed up with just correspondence. And so the boys took turns entertaining him evenings, and Johnny Abbott done more than his share. You see, the pennant meant more to Johnny than most of us, because he was figuring on getting married in the fall. So Johnny even took Kane out to his girl's house for dinner. But pretty soon, Kane started getting a long face again.
Ah, it's no use, fellas. We gotta figure something else out if we want to hold Harry with the club.
You got any more ideas, Johnny?
No, Bull, I ain't.
How about you, Joe?
I can't think of nothing, Bull. Not right now. Of course, this guy Kane is fickle as they come. If we could just get him interested in some other dame.
Yeah, that might work.
Ah, my girl's friends won't have no part of him.
I wonder... Yeah, that might do it.
What's that, Joe?
I think I got it. Look, Kane gets letters regular from this girlfriend of his back in Yuma. What's the matter with us all pitching in and sending her the dough to come up and see Harry?
Yeah.
Hey, you got something there, Joe. But won't he find out?
No. We'll explain to the dame that it's a secret and that us winning the pennant depends on Harry being happy. Get it?
It's worth trying, Joe.
Well, sir, we send this girl in Yuma a wire explaining the whole thing. I get the name off one of the letters she writes to Harry. It's Minnie Olson. She grabs the chance to come up, being nuts about the big sap. Finally, she arrives, and she's what we expected. A plain, honest, good-hearted, small-town dame, dressed up like she was going to a masquerade. Helen Kerslake, that's Johnny Abbott's girl, takes her shopping and gets her fixed up so smart she don't look half bad. Well, sir, Hurry Kane takes one look at Minnie, and you'd think he'd never heard of a dame named Evelyn Corey.
Say, Hurry, that's a mighty cute little girl, that Miss Olson.
Hey, she looks pretty good, don't she?
I'll say she does. Not many dolls would travel all the way from Arizona to see a guy.
Well, no, of course I know she was stuck on me, but I didn't know it was that strong. She must have worked in a store or something to get the money for the trip.
Yeah, probably.
Well, for a while, there was just no beating us. Kane won every time he worked, and things were so good with us that Johnny Abbott persuaded his girl to make the Western trip with us so Minnie Olson could come along for Hurry. Johnny and Helen ate with Kane and Minnie every night and went to shows and cabarets sometimes. It was just perfect until we hit Chicago. And then this thing happened. Kane, looking kind of guilty, comes up and tells Johnny he won't be able to eat with him that night. He said he got an important call from a fella he knew on the north side and he had to go up there right away. I didn't find out the straight of it until later.
Why, Mr. Kane, how nice of you to come.
Hello, Miss Corey.
Miss Corey? Isn't that being a little formal? Won't you call me Evelyn?
Oh, gee. Evelyn. Say, you could have knocked me over with a feather when I got your message. I ain't had a letter from you in some time.
Letter?
Sure, all them letters you writ from Toronto.
Oh, sure, of course. Shall we go into the dining room?
Oh, sure. I guess you're hungry. You sure do look swell, Miss Corey. I mean, Evelyn.
Oh, Mr. Kane, I just love your stories.
Well, I got a million of them. And, hey, you don't have to call me Mr., you know. My first name is Elmer.
Oh, may I? Elmer.
Oh, sure. The fellas, they call me Hurry. Hurry, Kane. It's a kind of a storm.
Elmer, I think you're the most fascinating man I ever met.
I've been told that.
Of course you have. You're so handsome and so famous and such a wonderful pitcher. I know there's no chance for poor little me.
Oh, well, sure there is. Gee, Evelyn, I think you're wonderful.
Oh, but there must be dozens of girls just crazy about you.
Yeah, but that ain't saying I don't like you better than all of them.
Oh, Elmer, you mean it?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, Elmer, darling, when shall we get married?
Married? I ain't said nothing about...
Oh, if you only knew how happy I am.
Yeah, but...
We'll have a wonderful honeymoon in Florida right after the World Series.
I know, but...
We'll buy a car, and then we'll buy a house in New Rochelle. Oh, Elmer.
But look, I ain't got that kind of dough right now. This is only my first year up in the majors.
But, Elmer...
Well, look, I'll work hard and save up, and maybe when I get about $3,000 or $4,000
we could... $3,000 or $4,000?
Yeah,
well, I wouldn't buy the runs in my stockings. No, Elmer. The man I marry must have at least $20,000.
$20,000?
Yes. Oh, I see my little dream of happiness can never come true, Mr. Kane.
Yeah, but...
We'd better forget the whole thing.
No.
I'll leave you now. What? I have a splitting headache. Good night, Mr. Kane.
Yeah, but Evelyn, we still got dessert coming. It goes with the dinner. Ah, oh, shucks. She's gone. She's gone for good.
Say, pardon me. Aren't you Hurry Kane, the pitcher?
Huh? Oh, yeah. I'm Kane.
Do you mind if I sit down for a moment?
No, I don't care.
Thanks. You're due to pitch tomorrow, Kane, hmm?
Yeah.
It's a pretty important game to me. I hope you lose, because it's going to cost me a lot of money if you win.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How much?
So much that I'll give you $20,000 if you get beaten.
Hey, do you think I'd throw a ball? Hey. Hey, $20,000 is what I need to marry Miss Corey.
Well, sir, I knowed something was wrong the minute Hurry threw the first ball next day. I was used to the old zip of his fast one, but I could have caught this one with my bare hand. The next one was worse. Then Claymore took a cut at one that went for three bases. King doubles to right. Welch is safe on a wild throw, and then Kramer slapped one out of park for a homer. Four runs in the first inning. Dave was roaring like a bull when we come into the dugout.
Hey, Kane! Kane, get in there, you big sap! What are you doing out there? Laying down on us?
But Kane had stopped and was staring up in the stand. Dave jumped on me.
All right, Joe, what's going on out there? Kane ain't bearing down. What's the trouble?
You got me, Dave. I called for his fast one and he throws me a balloon. Maybe the guy's sick or something.
Sick? Well, he'll be sick when I get through with him.
But Kane just stood out there, staring up in the stands like he was seeing a ghost. Johnny Abbott ran out and grabbed him by the arm.
Come on, hurry. Get in there. What's eating you anyway?
Hey, Johnny, I want to ask you something. Ain't that Miss Corey I see in the stands, in the last row of boxes?
Where? Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. That's Evelyn Corey.
Well, who's the guy with her?
Him? Oh, yeah, let me see. That's Sam Bigger, the gambler. That's her boyfriend.
Him? Her boyfriend?
Sure. He's got plenty of dough bet on the socks, I hear. Don't ever have nothing to do with him, kid. Now, come on, get in the dugout.
Okay. That's all I wanted to know, Johnny. That's all I wanted to know.
Well, Mr. Kane, it's nice of you to join us, I'm sure. Now, you big galoot, what are you trying to pull out there? You'll give away them four runs. You ain't bearing down. What's the idea?
Well, you don't need to worry no more, Mr. Grogan. I was a little sick out there at the start, but I feel okay now. Yeah, I feel great. And I got a feeling I've been a sucker for the last time. Just give me some runs, fellas. They won't get another hit all day.
And like you know, they didn't. Kane pitched us right into the pennant and then won three games of the series for us. Afterwards, he told me the whole story like I give it to you. He took $5,000 from this Sam Bigger, see, and was due to collect $15,000 more after he loses the game. Then he sees Bigger with the Corey dame up in the stands and learns from Johnny Abbott that they've been playing him for a sucker. Evelyn making out like she'd marry him if he had $20,000, and then Sam coming by at just the right minute to offer him that to throw the game. But I'll say this, the kid never meant to be crooked. He's just a big, dumb sap.
Hi, Joe.
Yeah, Harry?
Hey, what do you think I ought to do with the $5,000? Should I give it back to this gambler?
Give it back? No, keep it, kid. It'll give you and Minnie a start down there in Yuma.
Well, it...
Yeah, I'll tell you what. You might split it with Johnny Abbott. He's getting married, too, and he's the guy that tipped you off to Bigger being Corey's boyfriend. You owe him a lot, kid.
Say, that's a good idea. I'll split the $5,000 with Johnny. Yeah. Hey, I'll do better than that. I'll give him $200 cash.
I give up on that bird. But I got to say this. He sure got a mighty sweet, fast ball.
Well, there's another Ring Lardner story for your collection, fellas. The story of Elmer Kane. Hurricane, they called him. You know, it's a kind of a windstorm. Well, so long, fellas. See you next week. Goodbye, Bill.
Right.
So long, Jim.
Bye.
This has been another visit to the Sportsman's Club, where the sport fans gather every Saturday at this time to hear one of the favorite sports stories of Grantland Rice, Dean of American Sports Writers. In today's story, Hurricane by Ring Lardner, the dramatization was by Gerald Holland. Jim Backus played Hurry, John Gibson was narrator, and others in the cast included Henny Backus, Jack Hartley, Jackson Beck, and Sam Wanamaker. George Crook was at the organ. Grantland Rice appeared in person, and the production was under the direction of Tony Leader. Join us next week at the Sportsman's Club for another sports story especially selected for you by Grantland Rice. This is the National Broadcasting Company.